This Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Danica Patrick is set to drive a schedule of NASCAR Nationwide Tour events in 2010 for a team co-owned by Dale Earnhardt Jr.
The NBA on ESPN Radio. Dwight Howard leads the Orlando Magic into Utah to face Deron Williams and the Jazz. Thursday at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Lobster tails, fresh lobster tails, lobsters all the way. Oh, what fun they are to eat when they're piled three high on your plate. Hey!
Come on into Outback Steakhouse and try our freshly grilled lobster tails and our juicy 6-ounce signature sirloin, plus one of our famous freshly made sides, all for just $14.95. And purchase $100 in gift cards and receive a $20 bonus card free. Happy holidays from Outback Steakhouse. Live adventurous. Go Outback.
Live from Progressive.
Next on the line is Jake.
Hey, Flo. Years ago, I just went with my dad's auto insurance company. Could I be paying too much?
Maybe. But when we compare Progressive Direct rates to other top companies, you could save hundreds.
Hundreds!
Hundreds!
Hundreds! Is there an echo in here?
Compare and save. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or go to progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations.
They didn't have what it takes to be astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Most people at home today, we are not. We are home here, right here in our studio, bringing you another hour plus of local and state talk radio as far as the sports world goes. We've got some special guests on the show today. Monty Kratzenstein, our Husker insider, is going to join us today. And, you know, after he said that special teams was a big part of the Big 12 championship on Saturday, we'll ask him about that and where the Huskers are in their program after Saturday's game. Dugan Arnett from the Lawrence Journal World is going to join us. We'll see if Turner Gill is the front runner for the head coaching position at Kansas. So we kind of finished the show up with that yesterday, and maybe I didn't end it the way I wanted to. I want whatever the best thing is for Turner Gill, because he's a great person. He's been on the show. He's got local ties. Whatever is best for him. I just don't see Kansas being best for him. So we'll find out how close he is. And then that nut from Houston, I've been in Mississippi long enough. Let's see if I can go to Kansas. That's not a move up. That would not be a move up. Somebody get the nut out of there. Don't hire Houston Nutt.
But if he wants a job, he's got it, right?
Well, I don't know. Why would you hire a guy that in 3 years would be ready to leave again?
I find it very peculiar he would want to go to Kansas, but whatever.
So we'll have all of that and Troutman's Tuesday Trivia coming up on the program today. But one of the things we didn't get to yesterday, and we still take your Husker reaction. I mean, we went wall-to-wall yesterday with Huskers, had Sean Callahan join us. The Huskers have lost a commit because, well, it's kind of crazy. We lost a wide receiver. We need wide receivers, but we lost a wide receiver. Well, anyway, we'll talk about that and Troutman's Tuesday Trivia as well. But one thing we didn't get to yesterday was the final week of Bruce Furniture Pigskin Pick'em on the program. And I knew watching games coming off that 13-0 week, I told you, you know what happens. It's like Vegas. They got shut down. They come back big. They're big. They get shut down. Mike Perennial from Mandalay Bay joins us Friday, by the way. It did not. I knew I didn't do well, and I didn't do well. But overall, how did everybody do, Derek?
Doug, you were under 500 at 5-6. Daddy, you're 6-5, and Wes from Amherst, the insider with the Washington over California pick, one that all of us picked California, and he went 7-4. He defeated you guys.
That was the difference.
That's disappointing. Finish the way like that?
So
finish the year like that?
For Wes, I'm going to say beat it, nerds. Can I say that?
Four people now?
in the running?
We have four. That's correct.
We will put together our bowl sheet. We will contact the four folks that have qualified for the dual Lazy Boys, the pair of Lazy Boy recliners from Bruce Furniture. Standby. We'll be contacting you here. Probably not this week, but in the very near future, we will get out the bowl sheets. And we will independently do each person's picks. We won't just bring them on the air so that they can hear each other's picks, but they'll do them independently. And whoever does the best, two Lazy Boy recliners from Bruce Furniture. That's a pretty good gig right there.
Yeah.
I knew Wes had a shot. I didn't have a good feeling Friday. Wes had beaten us before. You know, some teams just have your number.
All those games came down to the wire, too. I mean, there's three, four games just right down to the end of it. Doug, I like the final poll in the coaches' poll because they print out who everybody voted for. And I think it's great that you got people standing up for their school. When everybody was on Texas, wanted to go to the championship game a year ago, and Mac Brown didn't vote his team number one, I questioned Mac Brown. I said, "Whoa, why are you standing in the way when it comes down to hundreds of a point when you have an influence on that?" You know, two coaches voted Alabama number one and Cincinnati number two. Well, one's Brian Kelly, and another one's a South Florida coach, standing up for their teams. I love that. I love that those teams do that. One coach voted Alabama number one and Florida number two. Now, you come down to the final poll of the year.
And it's not an SEC coach?
It's a guy from Air Force. Do you not take your vote seriously? Seriously, Troy Calhoun. They just played. I know Texas didn't look real good. If Texas didn't impress you, maybe he filled it out before the games. And maybe he was out recruiting or on vacation. I don't know what the guy's doing. But if you're not going to pay attention to your vote, they weren't 1-2 after the game. Alabama handled Florida. If Texas didn't impress you, that's fine. Then put TCU, put Cincinnati up there. But don't look like a goober. Don't vote them 1-2 again and flip-flop them. The game wasn't even all that close. It's not like a 31-30 and somebody missed a two-point conversion. Troy Calhoun, Air Force. Come on. Sit down. Put 3.5 minutes into the top five. I just can't believe you do that.
Again, all the coaches, the USA Today coaches poll, they've listed how every coach voted. Bo Pelini?
Yes. I just saw Bo Pelini.
It's in alphabetical order. It shouldn't be too hard there.
Texas number one, Alabama number two, TCU third, Florida fourth, Boise, Cincinnati, Oregon, Ohio State, Iowa, Penn State round out the top 10. Nebraska, where did Bo Pelini put Nebraska?
15th.
13th.
13th. That's fair. They pushed Texas, well, to the last second. One other thing just kind of on this as well. I don't understand. Everybody's talking about why are they pitting TCU against Boise State in the Fiesta Bowl? Why is TCU against Boise State in the Fiesta Bowl? Thinking that the teams wouldn't be able to face off with a BCS conference school. And everybody's going, it would have been great. They should have let TCU play Cincinnati or TCU play Florida in the Sugar Bowl. Well, Cincinnati's playing Florida in the Sugar Bowl, morons. They're 12-0, and if I looked at the BCS final standings, they were number three, correct?
Right.
So anybody that even, I can't believe, I mean, I'm hearing it on the national ESPN and all kinds of places over the country. What? Cincinnati is playing Florida. They are getting a shot. Are you just saying that Cincinnati's in a BCS conference I don't get it. I don't understand. Cincinnati is no different than TCU and Boise State.
Yeah,
they're all the little kid on the corner.
Right.
With Florida tied in and Georgia Tech tied into the Orange Bowl and the Rose Bowl already set, there's no slots for these people to go to. There was only four slots: the two Fiesta because the national champion Texas is out of that. And then the SEC got another team in. I guess maybe there's four. The SEC was still tied in. I don't know how you want to look at that. I don't know why the SEC is tied into the Sugar any different than the Big 12 is tied into the Fiesta. Just because there's two teams, I mean, they have to go to the Sugar. I mean, it's better than picking them and making them go to the Orange right there in their home state. But there weren't that many slots to be moving people around. Cincinnati, TCU, Boise State all had to go somewhere. And after Texas won, of those three, two of them were going to play in the Fiesta Bowl, unless they had selected Iowa, and then they would have went to the Orange Bowl. So what's the difference? I mean, you could have had Iowa against TCU and Georgia Tech against Boise State. That's the only thing I see that could have even possibly been different.
You like the tie-ins where the conferences have, the Rose Bowl?
No.
Or just do away with that?
No, no. What's the deal? It's a 50-50 deal, though. Nobody wanted to see, probably nobody really wants to see Georgia Tech and Iowa, I guess. I mean, if the Rose Bowl, Pasadena has the national championship this year, next year they're fifth in the pecking order. You get the two teams that are left. 1 and 2 go against each other, 3 and 4 go against each other, 5 and 6, and again, unless they've already played. I mean, you got to have a couple of little caveats in there, a couple of little different tweaks and things like that. I don't see anything wrong with the way these five BCS bowl games came down. Nothing, zero, nothing wrong with it. I mean, after you pick Texas and Alabama in the national championship game, I am surprised TCU's a 7-point favorite, as a lot of the spreads came out just this morning, about an hour ago, of the non-BCS games. Everything came out, and Daddy, Nebraska, you've been doing some research. If you hadn't seen the spread, what had your research, what would have it told you?
Well, actually, you know, if you go to the point-wise deal we follow kind of all year long, the research told you there was a very, very close game. Now, Sean Callahan yesterday saying he expected Nebraska to be that 7-point favorite. Now, obviously, that was not the spread. That was what was in Sean's mind, what he wanted. Arizona, according to point-wise, was a 49. Nebraska was a 50. That's on a neutral field. Nebraska would be favored by a point. Well, the deal opened at Pick'em. Arizona is actually a -1. So Arizona, just a touch favorite over Nebraska in the Holiday Bowl, which a lot of people, I think, are scratching their heads a little bit, thought Nebraska maybe with the way they took on Texas. You know, a lot of that's perception. You mentioned TCU, that 7-point favorite. The last six games they beat up on Utah and Boise, or BYU and Utah in those last six games by 32 points combined, those six teams. Their last six, 32 points a game. So people have just been riding that favorite, and they've been getting killed out west. So I think that number's maybe a little inflated.
Hope so. How about some of the other Big 12 matchups?
Other Big 12 matchups. Actually, Big 12 gets started on December 28th, Texas A&M, Georgia. Georgia, a 7-point favorite. The Bulldogs, which maybe fallen off the little national radar this year just by how things fell in the SEC and whatnot. Nebraska's the next one.
Can you believe that? There's 8 Big 12 teams. Nebraska is the second of the 8 to play.
Yeah. Navy, Missouri after that. That only one place has that up, but that looks to be a pick or right around an even game. Only one place has that up. On the 31st of December, Stanford, Oklahoma. Oklahoma, a 9-point favorite. Now, here's the one that maybe surprised me the most of everybody. This follows that Stanford-Oklahoma game. Iowa State, Minnesota. What do you think the spread would be there? Because I would think Iowa State, who beat Nebraska on the road, and then they talk about this on the road, you get away from Ames, just a bad football team. I thought Minnesota would be a really pretty good sizable favorite. 3 points, Minnesota is a favorite in this ballgame. Only 3 points, so somebody's giving the Cyclones a shot. You go to the 2nd of January, Mississippi, Oklahoma State. Mississippi, a 3-point favorite over Zach Robinson and the Cowboys.
Hey, that'll be interesting, because if Houston Nutt is in coaching talks, this is where this bowl stuff gets way out of whack. Brian Kelly at Cincinnati, Harbaugh at Stanford, and now all of a sudden Houston Nutt, crazy Nutt. Okay, go ahead.
In the last two, Michigan State, Texas Tech in that one. a 7.5-point favorite. Now, Michigan State, 8 players suspended, three starters on offense, 3 starters on defense, and 2 reserves, I believe. So that's a weird deal there. And then the championship game, of course, has Alabama, a 4 or 5-point favorite, depending on where you shop, over the Texas Longhorns.
5, huh? Started at 4, went to 6, now it's at 5.
Kind of settled
in
right
just
there.
A couple of days, so things have moved along. Coming up, Monty Kratzenstein is going to join us, talk a little Husker football. The former Husker and Husker insider will be with us. Dugan Arnett of the Lawrence Journal World to talk a little bit about Kansas football situation, plus Troutman's Tuesday trivia. But before we go to break, let's go to the Debt Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Very rarely do emailers email about other emailers on our show unless they're named H-Man or Irish Ken. Those are usually the only two that take shots from other emailers. Now you can add Wally to the list, who emailed yesterday chastising Daddy about hammering the Nebraska offense, saying, why don't you go fix it or shut up? Now we have this email. Dear Dave and Daddy, funny. Just wanted to thank Wally for his insightful email taking Daddy to task. Unfortunately, we're talking about football, not soccer. Didn't your mother tell you you are better seen than not heard? That's what's going on here, he says. Only a soccer fan could watch the Husker offense and say, looks good to me. Don't dog on Daddy because he wants the Huskers to play for national titles. I wonder, Wally, did you call for the Cosgrove's head after he drove the black shirts into the ground? Well, guess what? Lee and Watson are doing the same to the offense. Wake up and shut up, Wally. Love, El Conquistador.
Thanks, El Conquistador, for coming to my rescue.
That's Brett outside in the snow somewhere. We'll take a break. Be back with more after this on the Doug and Daddy.
Hi, I'm a mudflap from JTM Products. I guess I shouldn't be complaining about my job. It's my job to get... It's a dirty job, but at least JTM Products has the knowledge and know-how to make me look pretty. Oh, boy!
Have JTM Products customize your mudflaps. All sizes, cars, trucks, semis, and minivans. A great gift for car buffs. JTM Products can even do custom design and sizes of mudflaps, too. Always affordable prices. Call JTM Products today. 308-338-FLAP. Online at jtmproducts.com.
How do you say go Lopers? You say it with a Loper t-shirt, a Loper hat. You say it with a painted body and a giant foam finger. And you always say it with pride. Come gear up at the College Store in Kearney and get everything you need for the season. Stop by our new store before the game for incredible specials on all of our Loper merchandise. It's game day every day at the College Store, located at 1420 West 24th Street in Kearney, or online at thecollegestore.com/UNK. The College Store. Go Lopers!
Hi, folks. This is Darrell Waltrip, NASCAR champion and the proud owner of a geothermal heating and cooling system from Water Furnace. You know, I learned a long time ago that to be a winner, well, you got to have the best machine and the best team. That's why my new home is heated and cooled by Water Furnace Geothermal. It's clean, reliable, economical, and here's the best part. It's made in the USA. Now, in my book, that's a winning combination. So call your local Water Furnace dealer today.
We don't cut corners, Vidalki Heating and Air.
I hate Christmas shopping for my wife. I never know what she wants or needs. What are you getting yours?
My wife's easy to buy for. She wants the same thing every year. Manny's and Petties.
What the heck are Manny's and Petties?
Manicures and pedicures from Rosie Nails. I get her a gift certificate that covers the whole year. They've got some kind of massaging spa chair she raves about. She's always in a great mood after she's been to Rosie Nails for her Manny and Petty.
Manny and Petties? Great mood? Great idea. Where is Rosie Nails' place?
They're in the Clock Tower Plaza, just east of Allen's and Hastings. Trust me, you can't go wrong with Manny's and Petties from Rosie Nails.
Extreme weather can cause delays and closings. When it does, click on ESPNSuperstation.com and look for the Fidelity Heating and Air weather threat icon. Click it for a full listing of delays and closings anytime and update it all the time. Even when the weather stops you, nothing can stop a train.
A winter storm warning remains in effect for the area today as snow becomes heavy at times with accumulations of 5 to 9 inches by this evening. Temperatures will stay steady in the teens with northeast winds to 12 to 25. I'm weather meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Right now, 14.
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight, oh, we're happy tonight. walking in a winter wonderland.
Doug and Daddy, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you on. Glad to have you along on this Tuesday edition. Everything's closed down, folks. Schools are all shut down. Everything sports-wise, I think, goes without saying on the high school level. Luckily, there's nothing going on collegiately. UNK, Hastings College, the Huskers don- have to worry about it. This is going to be a 2 or 3 day storm. We have to look ahead to see if Thursday's activities will be affected by the weather. It's hammering us pretty good right now. Right now, though, on the Doug and Daddy Show, we want your emails, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. We're on the Dent Popper inbox, 888-455-ESPN, the phone number. But let's head south, where it's probably snowing as well, Lawrence, Kansas. And from the Lawrence Journal World, we are pleased to be joined by Dugan Arnett, rejoining us on the Doug and Daddy Show. And Dugan, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Have you had to shovel out yet, or is it pretty bad down there too? Or
not as bad as I thought. You know, there was a winter advisory last night and everything, but just about an inch or two of snow, so nothing too bad.
Well, obviously, we wanted to chat a little bit about what's going on with Kansas football and taking a look at who's in line for the head coaching job. I guess right now, Turner Gills, who we're interested in, Houston Nutt's thrown his name in supposedly. Although I see an article in your paper says that he is not. Not officially been contacted or anything like that. Are those the only two names we know of right now?
Yeah, and actually, Houston Nutt, that was just kind of an updated story. He came out today and released a statement and said that, just kind of shot down reports that he had any interest in the job, you know, whatsoever. Said he's happy in Oxford, and that's where he wants to be, and that's where he's going to be. So, you know, he, if his name was ever in the running, which I don't think it was, he took it out of it. But you know, besides that, like you said, you know, the only name that's you know, publicly been confirmed is Turner Gill, and you know, Lou Perkins, the athletic director at KU, you know, apparently met with him on Sunday in New York City to talk about the job, and you know, he's also Lou Perkins is going to be in New York today for an awards banquet that he's with Todd Reesing, the quarterback at KU, and so you know, people think that might be a pretty good opportunity for him to make some progress in the coach search. But as of now, I mean, there's been a lot of names, a lot of speculation, but not much, you know, substantial news, I guess.
Dugan, now Turner Gill has a daughter that already goes to school at Kansas, is that correct?
Yeah, she's a sophomore at KU, so yeah, she's here.
Dugan Arnett from the Lawrence Journal World joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show, talk about what's going on with the Jayhawks opening and the football position. What about Randy Edsall at Connecticut? Has he flat out taking his name out of the hat? Everybody kind of thought this was the direction that Lou Perkins would be going.
Right, and you know, who knows? He still might be. And there's been, you know, that name hasn't, you know, it's kind of lost some steam. You know, there at the beginning, you know, that was a real popular guy, and people just figured, you know, because of Perkins' connections to Connecticut, that might be a guy he was going to go after. But that's kind of calmed down. Not to say that they're not going to go that direction. But as of now, you know, I haven't heard much about them, you know, pursuing him or anything like that. You know, he's been mentioned with at least one other job, and you know, I hasn't said much. You know, from what I've read and you know, seen, you know, he's been real mum on the whole thing. So, coaching searches are just kind of bizarre and weird by nature, and this one is no different, I guess.
Dude, when you think about Turner Gill, I guess the people want to know up here. Was he interviewed because they really think Turner Gill could be the coach of Kansas, or was he interviewed because he's black and we can get a black coach out of the way and then continue on with our search?
I'd guess that they were looking at him as a potential candidate. You know, he's got ties to the Big 12. He's been a quarterback. I think he was a Heisman finalist when he was at Nebraska. So knows the area, grew up in Texas, which is big. I mean, if you have connections to the state of Texas and you're playing in the Big 12, I mean, that's always good. So, you know, he's had some success. You know, he was the coach of the year, had that big year in 2008 and everything. A rough one this year, but, you know, at this point, I mean, you know, I don't see any reason why he wouldn't be a legitimate candidate. You know, he's had some success as, you know, promising young guy, so. That's my take on it.
Dugan Arnett of the Lawrence Journal World with us for another couple minutes on the Doug and Daddy Show. Any other name kind of on the fringe that you've heard, maybe can't confirm? I mean, there's got to be more than just two guys that are up for this job.
Oh, sure, sure. Jim Harbaugh at Stanford also has some connections to Kansas City. There's a picture going around on the internet with him and his wife, and he's wearing a KU shirt in it. You know, he shot down rumors. I guess it was last night on Monday Night Football. They interviewed him on the sideline, said that he wasn't interested, and you know, he's happy at Stanford, and he plans to be there for a while. But at the same time, you know, they always say that. So he's been a name. You know, might be that big name guy that Kansas is really looking for, and that's what they need. They're trying to pay for this, trying to fund this addition to the stadium, and they're going to need to bring some money in and get boosters excited, and they're going to need a big name to do that. Another name I've heard, guy that I think might be a distinct possibility is Skip Holtz from down in Eastern Carolina. You know, had a lot of success down there. You know, he's got the name. You know, he's son of Lou Holtz and everything. So that might be another possibility. I mean, yeah, there's a few like that, but you know, those two I think are two big ones, I guess, that might be looked at a little closely.
Didn't we understand here in Nebraska, you know, there was pretty much a split down the middle of the people in favor of Bill Callahan against Bill Callahan. Is there a divided
nation? Yeah, it was like a 20-80 split.
Wow. But there were people taking hard stances, and there were hard feelings on both sides of it. Are there hard feelings for Mangino against Mangino in Kansas?
Yeah, there certainly are. I'd say it's almost exactly 50%. We've had a poll up on our website the past 2 or 3 weeks. Asking that exact same question, and it's almost 50-50. I want to say it's like 48% and 51% with, you know, 1% undecided or something like that. But it's really, really, really close. So I mean, he's kind of a polarizing figure in Lawrence right now.
No matter who the coach is, Dugan, what will the coach inherit as far as a football team? Because a lot of good players are going to be moving on.
Yeah, a lot of good players are moving on. You still don't know what's going to happen with transfers and things like that, and recruits. I mean, you know, recruits are I'm sure, you know, watching this situation closely, especially the guys they've got committed already. You know, who knows if you know? I'm sure that the you know opposing coaches are kind of swooping in and using this as kind of, you know, a recruiting tool. I mean, you know, there's uncertainty at Kansas, so why don't you come here, and you know, we can promise you that at least there's going to be some stability. So it's going to be tough. You know, not a lot of guys coming back, especially on offense. It's rough. It's going to be a little tough, I think, next year.
Dugan, is there a time frame when Lou Perkins has said he wants this wrapped up by?
No, he's been real quiet on it, hasn't talked about it at all, and I think it's going to stay that way. At the same time, I mean, the common sense tells you that he would like this done as soon as possible because, you know, like I just mentioned, there's commits that are just kind of waiting right now, and recruiting is almost on hold. They've got to get this done pretty soon. I'd say by the end of the week. I'd say by about Saturday they got somebody.
Hey, Dugan, thanks for the insight. Always great to catch up with you on the Doug and Daddy Show, and hopefully you guys get just a good enough coach that loses to Nebraska every year.
Fair enough. All right.
Take care,
bud. Thanks, guys.
All right, for the Lawrence Journal World, Dugan Arnett, talking a little Kansas Jayhawk football. Of course, their men's basketball team ranked number one in the country as well. Yeah, see, Skip Holtz makes sense. That's a step up. Of course, he makes sense for a lot bigger jobs, too, like Turner Gill. So, I mean, Harbaugh, no, that's not a step up. Stanford to Kansas, that's not a step up. Houston, not a step up.
Well, right behind Brian Kelly, isn't Harbaugh being mentioned at Notre Dame as well?
Yeah, well, he denied it yesterday, sort of, on Monday Night Football. You know, Monday Night Football. It's on ESPN every Monday night, Tony.
Yeah, watched most of it last night.
We'll take a break. Monty Kratzenstein to talk Husker football when we come back.
Hey, NFL fan, after rooting for the home team, you'll probably find yourself rooting around the kitchen for dinner options. Well, you can ignore the skimpy, unfilling diet dinners and forget those fatty, greasy man meals. Go for Campbell's Chunky Soup. Try Hearty Beef Barley. It's my favorite. Made with all lean meat and now with a full serving of vegetables. It's still filling and delicious, and now it's more nutritious. If only all rooting led to such happy results. Campbell's Chunky Soup. Satisfying and nutritious.
Rick Rickman is a certified process efficiency expert.
Now, my real name is Richard, but Rick is more efficient.
Rick spends his waking hours obsessively streamlining and simplifying just about everything, except for his TomTom GPS.
They covered it all, and it's driving me insane.
Yes, with just a few taps of the screen, Rick's easy-to-use TomTom can instantly find him the most efficient way to get anywhere at any time of day.
The best I could do was give it a nickname. I called mine Tom.
Tom, Tom, go confidently.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
You have more power than you may realize when it comes to managing your health care costs. With a health savings account partnered with the right health plan, you gain control over your medical dollars. Ask today about the new HSA-eligible plans, available from two names you trust, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, and your Farm Bureau agent. With Farm Bureau and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, you get the best of both. Matt Myers and Rich Peters are independent and authorized insurance producers of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. For your health insurance needs in the Kearney area, call Farm Bureau agents Matt Myers and Rich Peters at 234-4922. That's 234-4922. Make the call today and get the best of both with Farm Bureau and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska.
A winter storm warning remains in effect for the area today as snow becomes heavy at times with accumulations of 5 to 9 inches by this evening. Temperatures will stay steady in the teens with northeast winds of 12 to 25. I'm weather meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 14.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Monty Kraft, the Steinhusker Insider, going to join us in just a minute. You know, the weather's bad enough. I don't need a cold. I'm going to tell you that. Email us, Doug and Daddy, at ESPNSuperstation.com. Here are the four finalists for the Bruce Furniture Pigskin Pick'em. And they're from all over the place. We've got Justin in Kearney. He went 7-3 the week he beat us. Chris from Lawrence, 8-2 the week he beat us. Jim from Loomis, 8-2 the week he beat us. And then Wes from Amherst just this last week went 7-4 the week he beat us. So we went 10 most of the time to the last couple of weeks. So Chris and Jim had the best percentage against us. And I'll tell you what, nobody limped in and went like 5-5 and beat us on a tiebreaker. I think we did pretty darn good this year.
Yeah, we represented. We represented our people.
You know, mostly me. But, I mean, it was pretty good. It was pretty good.
I got to say, Daddy pulled his weight early in the season.
No. You kept the tally, right?
I have to look back at the
I won between us the first 4 weeks. We remember that.
I will tally it all up before the end of the show.
And I wasn't trying to throw you under the bus. I was just trying to make it funny. But now I've been tested. I was the winner the first 4 weeks. You know that. You can admit that right now.
I know that.
Okay, then. All right. Okay. All right.
But I'm saying the year total is not close.
How'd your picks do on Friday? How'd that go? How'd that go for you? I'll tell you what, getting into your research department right now looked like that was painful.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm starting to get upset because I went back over how the coaches voted. There are four coaches that don't have Nebraska in their top 25. Four coaches out there have somehow just didn't think that that defense that played Texas was very good at all. Very pedestrian.
And two of them, are you, well, no, not two.
No,
of
no,
them. Okay,
no.
Okay.
Todd Dodge from North Texas.
Okay, call them. We'll get them on the schedule.
Nowhere to be found. Steve Craigthorpe from Louisville.
We'll get them on. Well, he's not the coach there anymore. He's been fired.
Good scumbag. Dwayne Walker, New Mexico State.
Oh, yeah. Well, we kicked their ass last year. And then our buddy, Rick Neuheisel.
Rick frickin' Neuheisel. Are you kidding me? Seriously.
Monty Kraftenstein, Husker Insider, set to join us. Were you going to tell us how you did last week so we can move on and have Monty on?
Oh, sorry. Winner. I went 2-1 in the pros.
And the winners were all underdogs. That was good because the Dogs went 4-10 this week.
Washington and the New York Giants.
10-4, I should say.
I lost the Kansas City Chiefs. That was my loser. I lost Boise State because they only beat them 48-6.
42-7. Anyway,
42-7. And I went 1-2 in the college. I had lost Central Michigan by 3 points. I lost Boise State by 3 points. And then Arizona USC. I covered that one.
So 3-3 for the week. You lost the juice. Monty Kratzenstein, Husker Insider, joins us this morning here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Morning, Monty.
Good morning, guys. You guys are great. I don't know if I need a referee's jersey when you're arguing so much, or if I come in here and I don't want Daddy to go postal on Rick Neuheisel there. I'm more concerned about you guys.
I'll tell you what, you may not need the jersey, but you definitely need a whistle strap from time to time. Monty, I mean, Tony, that's right. Nebraska deserves to be ranked. If you were voting, where... And maybe you don't have the top 25 in front of you, or think about it at the top, off the top of your head. We're 19th in the coaches' poll. We're 20th in the AP. Where do you think Nebraska belongs?
Well, I'd say they'd be in that bracket anywhere from 15 to 20, I think, realistically. I think that when you look at different competition, teams that are ahead of us, you know, you always go through and say, oh, we could beat that team. You know, we probably couldn't beat that team. You know, those sorts of things. But I would say 15 to 20 is about right, in my opinion.
Well, just for the fans that are out there, Oklahoma State and Stanford are really kind of the two teams, along with Nebraska, that are flipped back and forth in those three slots. So I'm going to look at the coaches' poll, Tony. Oregon State right behind us. They had Oregon all they wanted, and they're behind us, and they score points. Stanford drums USC. They're behind us. Wisconsin, say what you want, and then Arizona. Just ahead of us, Oklahoma State, West Virginia, Pittsburgh, Miami of Florida. Maybe I question them. They got off to such a hot start and have been mediocre at best. Then BYU, LSU, and then Virginia Tech. Deserve to be ranked, probably, as Monty said, about where they are.
By the way, just on a positive note, who had us the highest? Ron English from Eastern Michigan had us at 12th.
And Bo had us 13th. Well,
Bo had us 13th.
Monty was going to join us today to talk a little bit about the Huskers. You texted me yesterday during the show when I got on Papuchas. I mean, is Papuchas in charge of every aspect of the special teams?
Well, the way they run things is he's the coordinator and he organizes things. But each of the position coaches then has a specific thing that they work on. For example, Coach Brown, you know, works with the punt returners, and Eckler works with aspect. And so he's the coordinator, so he's the overall guy in charge. But then there's, you know, the certain guys are in charge of, you know, coverage teams and return teams and so on.
Eckler probably coaches the wedge busters. Monty Kratzenstein with us. But Monty, and again, talking with Sean Callahan yesterday, talking with some of the folks, getting them lined up for the show this week, nobody can ascertain an answer to what Adi Kunalik was told to do on that kick. Obviously, he wasn't told. He had to be told for a directional kick because he can kick it through the end zone, and it blows my mind that he was told that. I mean, Adi kicked it, tried to kick it in the corner, and he shanked it out of bounds. I don't blame the kid. I blame the coach that told him to do that. Do you think I'm off base there?
Well, I don't. I think maybe you're making it a little bit more specific than probably what it was. I think a lot of times when they kick, you know, they say just kick it deep. They kick middle. They kick right sector, left sector. They aren't as specific about that. To me, you know, and I'm not a kicking technician by any stretch of the imagination. My buddies out there are probably laughing because they know how I feel about kickers. But but as far as his technique was concerned, he looked like me a lot of times when I get up to the tee box and want to try to hit a drive 350 yards. You know, I think he duck hooked it. I mean, I really think when you look at that ball and his form and whatnot, he was trying to kick it as hard as he could, and I think he duck hooked it.
Monty, I think that's a great analogy. He just never had a chance to stay in bounds the way that ball was kicked. Obviously, you go on from that, you get the ball at the 40-yard line, then you have the 15-yard penalty. It was Larry Asante, who's been much maligned all year long for having those kind of penalties. The bad part, I say, for Larry was, it's not like the guy was going to turn the corner and make another 20 yards. There were other people there to make that tackle.
Yeah, if he doesn't grab him in the back like that, you know, he's going to be tackled 3 yards down because there's two guys there. But you know what, Daddy, that's an effort play, and I don't have a problem. I mean, he's reaching out, he's grabbing, he grabs that horse collar. That's way different than maybe a late hit or what we would term a stupid penalty. You know, that's what I would term a bad luck penalty. You know, he grabs, he grabs back behind the horse. So I don't have as big of a problem with that as I do a lot of different penalties that have happened throughout the years. It's bad luck, maybe bad technique, but he was chasing, he was reaching out, he grabbed, and that's what he caught.
I'll give you that. Much different than the Todd Reising penalty where he about killed Todd.
Right. And even that, and I'm not an apologist for an effort sort of a play, the things that you hate are the ones after the whistle and some things like that. But if you got a guy that's going, for years I've been complaining that we don't have a safety that'll hit. Sudden we do. I'm not going to go backwards and say, well, I wish he would let up a little bit. So it's just one of those things.
Well, we've been pretty specific here, and Monty Kratzenstein joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. I guess your overall take on the game Saturday and where that puts us going into the Holiday Bowl.
Well, realistically, I really didn't think that we would play them within two touchdowns, based on the talent and based on what they had to play for. I think we played a phenomenal game. I think we did exactly what we had to do to win the game. We came, within a whatever second of winning that game. And all of a sudden, if a couple things go different, then we're just talking about how great we are and how amazing it is that we beat Texas. So, I think we kind of have to take a step back and look at the overall picture of things. And I think this bowl game is a big bowl game. In the perception, I don't know if in the perception inside the program, but outside the program, there's a lot of difference between 9-5 and 10-4 from people around the country, from recruits, from the perception of things. Now, does that affect the way that you coach and teach and build your program? No, because there has been progress made, even if we do finish, 9-5. I think there's a tremendous amount of progress has been made these first 2 years, but I don't think the bar is set pretty high. I think that, we'd all be disappointed, and certainly the coaches would be very disappointed if we, finished this way every year.
Monty, obviously, overnight we've learned Curtis Carter has reportedly left the Nebraska class for next year. It's probably going to be more fallout with kids looking at our offense and how pathetically sick it's been this whole year. Just your overall thoughts. I agree with you that progress is made inside the program, but offensively, no progress was made this year.
Well, when you look at recruits, and I'm a little cynical when it comes to recruiting because, we always go back to the gold standard of the 90s, right? I mean, that was when Nebraska was as good as any program in an entire decade. So you go back to that, and you can go back and look at the type of kids that were recruited into that program, and we had some NFL-type players, some, quote, whatever, 4-stars, but we also had just some tough, hard-nosed kids. And so receiver position is very difficult because a lot of those high school receivers, just like NFL receivers, are really their personalities are a little bit different. They're a little bit about stats, about selfishness, how many balls am I going to catch, what can you do for me? And honestly, I'm a little old school in this, but I want them to know what that program, what they can do for the program, not what the program can do for them. So when I see a kid like Carter renege on his commitment, I think, well, maybe he's not the right guy for this program. Yeah, we'd love to have his athletic ability, but is he going to be the malcontent that when he doesn't get the ball thrown to him enough, he's going to pout and is he going to be a cancer in the locker room and that sort of thing? So, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying about the offense, but I don't get too freaked out about decommits and commits and all those sorts of things.
I want to go to an email here because I think Monty will have a little insight, can help us all out here. Aaron in Kearney says, hey, guys, just wondering if you could think of anybody else besides Sue that has been in the running for so many awards at the end of the year. I cannot think of anybody, so I thought I would ask. Also, can you think of any other lineman that has dominated games for a whole year? I'm quite a bit younger than both of you. Easy, Aaron. So that's why I would ask. Aaron also says, Daddy, we need a center for our snow football team today. Are you interested? There's the contact information. Well, Ndamukong Suh, because now he's in for a couple of awards that normally go to offensive players, Maxwell and the Heisman, it doesn't work the other way around. Offensive guys, there's never just a chance to be, the defensive player of the year. So Sue probably is in for a couple of more awards overall than any other Husker ever could have been. He's all over the country this week. He's in Houston. He's in New York. He's in Charlotte. He's in Orlando. Then he's got to go to California. I think that's five spots in 7 or 8 days for Sue. And I know we've got that information. But I guess I'm thinking, who comes to your mind? I know Grant Wistrom's kind of the last big name everybody's been talking about as far as a non-specialty player. How about you, Monty?
Well, Grant Wistrom, and I would have to go back and look and see all what awards he was up for. But you have to understand, too, that Grant Wistrom was not head and shoulders the best D defensive player on that football team he played on either. You know, you had the Peters brothers, you had a bunch of those guys that he was one of the main guys, and he was a great, great player. But, you know, Sue, I mean, without Sue, where would we be? I mean, that's the sort of thing. And I truly think, and I know Rich Glover way back in the early 70s, you know, was in the Heisman race, so to speak, for ESPN and all those things. But I honestly will say I don't think there's any lineman that I know of in the history of college football that has dominated like he has. Now, again, you know, it's tough to compare him to, you know, some of the great, great linemen back in when there wasn't ESPN. He gets a lot more publicity, certainly, than any of those guys do. But there's no doubt, and he should win every defensive award. If he doesn't, it's probably because they feel sorry for some of the other guys and want to spread it out a little bit. I really believe that.
Yeah, and Sue's still up for the Lombardi, Outland, Bednarik, Lott Trophy, Walter Camp National Player of the Year, and the Heisman. A couple of those go out Thursday during the Home Depot Awards. Aaron, it's safe to say Sue is up for more awards than any Husker ever because there are more awards to be given out. So, Daddy?
Monty, we asked Sean Callahan this question yesterday. Next year when the season starts, is Sean Watson the offensive coordinator, in your opinion?
Yes. No doubt. No doubt in my mind. I don't, you know, want to turn this into a big, I have a lot of reasons why I think that, but you have to kind of, again, take a step back and look at the body of work, and I know it was terrible this year, but there's a lot of factors that involve that. But if you choose someone else, if you say, okay, we're done with him, we're going to hire a new offensive coordinator from outside the program or whatever, look what you're doing to the program. One of the things that this program has lacked in the last few years is continuity with assistant coaches and with the system and those sorts of things. And if you're doing that, then all of a sudden you're saying, you know what, we're going to go backwards. And we would, you know, changing terminology, changing philosophy, changing chemistry on the coaching staff, all those sorts of things. No doubt in my mind, Sean comes back. I would love to be in those meeting rooms after the season, and you know, because they evaluate every single play that's run. I mean, the amount of time they spend on that sort of thing, it will be interesting to see. And I'll ask him when I see him in the off season. We'll sit down in his office, and I'll ask him. I'll say, you know, what are some things you learned from this season, and what are you going to change? Because I think there's no doubt that he will need to change some things as far as what he does because of personnel and because of, you know, the team.
All right, Monty, we always appreciate catching up with you. We'll do it again soon. Thanks for the insight.
Oh, I always love talking to you guys. You guys do a great job.
Thanks, buddy. Monty Kratzenstein, Husker Insider, joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. I want to get to some emails. We got Troutman's Tuesday Trivia coming up, so get ready for that. Greg in Hastings says, Doug or Daddy, have you ever been in position to win a golf tournament? Somehow I doubt it, but I've never seen you play golf. I've seen Daddy officiate, but that's another deal. I think Audie was so jacked up he whiffed it. Just like a golfer who swings with all his might. I don't think any coach told him to aim for the boundary. Audie definitely has nothing on Elon. Greg in Hastings. Irish Ken says, since I know you boys are on the edge of your seats wondering who will coach at Notre Dame, here is the latest. Forget Harbaugh and Stoops. Notre Dame has been talking to Urban Meyer for the last 2 days but have not gotten him to say yes. My source, who is very close to Meyer when he was at Notre Dame, tells me that after the Brian Kelly interview today, they will give Meyer one more chance, and if he still refuses the job, they'll go with Kelly. Kelly will accept the job in a heartbeat. Irish Ken, breaking news.
I would love to see them put that financial package together and just wiggle it in front of Urban Meyer's.
Unbelievable. Let's take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. When we come back, Troutman Tuesday Trivia. See ya.
Hey, NFL fan, after rooting for the home team, you'll probably find yourself rooting around the kitchen for dinner options. Well, you can ignore the skimpy, unfilling diet dinners and forget those fatty, greasy man meals. Go for Campbell's Chunky Soup. Try Hearty Beef Barley. It's my favorite. Made with all lean meat and now with a full serving of vegetables. It's still filling and delicious, and now it's more nutritious. If only all rooting led to such happy results. Campbell's Chunky Soup. Satisfying and nutritious.
Rick Rickman is a certified process efficiency expert.
Now, my real name is Richard, but Rick is more efficient.
Rick spends his waking hours obsessively streamlining and simplifying just about everything, except for his TomTom GPS.
They covered it all, and it's driving me insane.
Yes, with just a few taps of the screen, Rick's easy-to-use TomTom can instantly find him the most efficient way to get anywhere at any time of day.
The best I could do was give it a nickname. I called mine Tom.
TomTom. Go confidently.
Hi, folks. This is Darrell Waltrip, NASCAR champion and the proud owner of a geothermal heating and cooling system from Water Furnace. You know, I learned a long time ago that to be a winner, well, you got to have the best machine and the best team. That's why my new home is heated and cooled by Water Furnace Geothermal. It's clean, reliable, economical, and here's the best part. It's made in the USA. Now, in my book, that's a winning combination. So call your local Water Furnace dealer today.
We don't cut corners. Vidalki Heating and Air.
Whether it comes in a glass, on a plate, or in a bucket, Cunningham's Journal in the Loft has specials that year in and year out make them a favorite for Kearney area sports fans. College or pro, the TVs are always on, the crowd turned up, the food and snacks hot, and the beverages cold. Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, ready to roll through the fall and winter sports seasons. And when the game isn't on, the live entertainment is at Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, downtown Kearney.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
A winter storm warning remains in effect for the area today as snow becomes heavy at times with accumulations of 5 to 9 inches by this evening. Temperatures will stay steady in the teens with northeast winds to 12 to 25. I'm weather meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 14.
Oh yeah, let's let it get going here. Because we've got about 9 more minutes left on the show, and I have a feeling it's going to be an outstanding 9 minutes. As crappy as it is outside, it's beautiful inside. Troutman's is coming up. I've got 2 breaking news stories for you. And I want to start with this because you crushed me. You said, I told you in Bruce Furniture Pigskin Pick'em, I said I wasn't sure. I thought I had won for the year. I wasn't sure. I got off to such a hot start. No, I won the first 4 weeks. We all knew.
Derek said that.
Then you got, no, you said that. And then, right here, Derek has actually done something the last 20 minutes on the show using his German math skills. He has tallied up how you did for the year, how I did for the year, how he did for the year, and how the callers combined did for the year. Derek, I ask you, start in fourth and work your way up.
Fourth place is the caller. The caller amounted to 84-64 through the pigskin picks this year, so a decent record there. Coming in third.
Hold on, because one of us is first and one of us is third, right?
That's correct.
Oh. Who's second?
Second is me. I went 89-59.
Okay.
Not too bad.
If we had Instapoll, we would say, well, listeners, who do you think was the winner? And who do you think was in third? As you've told me numerous times on the show, who evaluates talent?
I evaluate the talent.
You do. I leave that to you. Who wins? Leave it to me. Who was in third?
In third place, Daddy, 88-60. In first place, with an immaculate record of 94-54.
It's not even close.
Doug Duda.
Not even close. The percentage between me and the field is greater than the 3 bottom. It wasn't even close. It's like when I plant Dyna-Grow.
It's
so far ahead of everybody else. It's unbelievable.
It's 6 games. That's not even one.
It's like 29%.
Well, you're talking 100% when you plant Dyna-Grow. It's the newest brand in most areas. They offer you choice. Dyna-Grow, they utilize their knowledge and independent access the widest selection of genetics and traits to match the needs of our customers throughout each local area. Products designed to match your fields through precision placement. That's why they've got independent dealers that know the ground in which your farming operation is on, because the ground changes what seed you plant there. We go over this time and time again. You need to take a good look at Dyna-Grow Seed dependable line of Genuity Smart Stack, VT3 hybrids, Roundup Ready 2 hybrids, Herculex hybrids, GT3000 AgriShare hybrids, and leading conventional hybrids. Call your local Dyna-Grow Seed dealer today. Remember, Dyna-Grow's key corn hybrids are treated with Poncho 250 for protection from stand loss caused by wireworms, seed corn maggots, flea beetles at other secondary ends. Like 1-800-652-9298. Call your local Dino Grocery dealer today.
Really?
Here's late-breaking news from the world of sports on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
UNK has an All-American, and that's not what I'm leading with here. Two breaking news stories, but both of them do concern UNK today. University of Nebraska at Kearney defensive coordinator and associate head coach Bob Crocker is one of three finalists for the Division II Coordinator of the Year Award. The winner announced next Monday, December 14th, by a panel of head coaches and past winners. You can vote for Coach Crocker at Lopers.com. It's a fan vote, but you can vote and show your support for Coach Crocker at Lopers.com. Peers nominated their fellow coaches for this award, so this wasn't drawn and out of the hat, people. Central Washington's Joe Lorig and Arkansas Tech's Scott Preston are the other two finalists, with UNK's defensive coordinator Bob Crocker. His defense led the nation in sacks this year and was among the tops in points given up and yards per game. The Lopers, of course, went 11-2, made it to the second round of the playoffs. Crocker, a Kearney native, has been with the Lopers the last 5 years. As you mentioned yesterday when we were talking about things, he's coached and been an assistant at Ole Miss, Kansas, James Madison, Arkansas Monticello when he was getting his career underway, also coached at Salinas South High in Kansas. Bob Crocker, go to Lopers.com for more information. One of three finalists for the D2 Coordinator of the Year.
Awesome. Congratulations.
And much like many of the people around here, that probably won't involve a pay raise. So, you know, there you go.
Should we have
a benefit? We should have a benefit. Let's have a benefit. I'd like something different. It has to be different. You know, we got golf scrambles, we got shootouts, we got pancake feeds. What do you think? What kind of a benefit can we have? I've got it. We've got the hot dog eating contest. We could have something like that, like a fish eating contest.
Dorothy Lynch
contest. Also, UNK center Jack Hyatt has been named an American Football Coaches Association Division II All-American. The team is chosen by a panel of head coaches from around the nation. The coaches team consists of a first team only, and it currently selects All-American teams in all divisions. Hyatt is only the fourth Loper to be selected to this team. Defensive back Mitch Johnson in 76, defensive lineman Doug Peterson in 78, and kicker Heinrich Jules Nielsen in 2002. He's also a finalist for the Gene Upshaw Award, which goes to the D2 Lineman of the Year.
Awesome. Couldn't be more deserving. When you look in the dictionary, under, you know, the picture of what's just tougher than a woodpecker lip, well, Jack Hyatt's picture right there.
Jack's second team All-American, according to Daketronics. Three members from the RMAC, Shannon State kicker Travis Ader and Colorado School of Mines wide receiver Adam Soar, are also RMAC players on that squad. Richie Ross, Mike Smith, Mike Miller have also made that team in the past, Matt Brueggemann as well. So congratulations. It's time for Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-ESPN. Derek, why don't you take a few off the air, because I think it's pretty tough, and you let me know if you get somebody. The Huskers last played and only played in the Holiday Bowl one time. There was an offensive MVP was from Arizona that night. The defensive MVP was from Nebraska. Who was the defensive MVP of the 1998 Holiday Bowl, which the Huskers played in for Nebraska? 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. Back to the Dent Popper inbox. Fellas, I'm getting sick and tired of Lane Grindel talking about how many games we will win and by what margin we will win these games next year and how we're going to compete for the national championship. Now, of course, Lane, the Husker Sports Nightly host.
Our friend.
Yes, and a sideline reporter for the Huskers. This goes on to say, I guess someone should tell him we still have a game left in the current season. We have no time to talk about how great we will be before we even start spring camp. Unbelievable. How about let's finish this season, let Bo take care of business and straighten out the offense, and yes, we will compete. But come on, Lane! Then he goes on to say, how about Turner coming back into the fold and replacing Sean Watson? See, I thought of that. I don't think that would ever happen, and it would take a lot of money. Even though what he's making at Buffalo, we could definitely pay him as an O coordinator here. I just don't think he would do that. That would be great. I don't think he would do that. And, Daddy, I know you are allergic to manual labor. Call me, and I'll come over and clear your driveway. This is from Nick, the non-driver off-the-deck user.
I appreciate that, Nick. I really appreciate it.
You probably already got that done, though, don't you?
Yeah, it's done. Early this morning is done. I'll have to do it again a couple more times today.
We got a winner, fellas. Chase from Oxford. Mike Rucker, defensive MVP of that game. You should. We had guesses all over the board. We had Vandenbosch's, Kelsey's, Bullock's. Guesses all over the board.
Mike Rucker, 7 tackles, 4 for loss, 1 sack. It just wasn't a pretty game, obviously.
What was it, 23-20, 21-20? What did it end up?
It was 23-20, and I believe this was Crouch's freshman year, so let me just throw that out, how bad he was that night, but then went on to win the Heisman Trophy, so maybe you ought to get off our quarterbacks. Arizona mounted a drive late in the third quarter, scored on a 15-yard pass from Keith Smith, who was the offensive MVP, to Brian Brennan on the first play of the fourth quarter to take a 16-13 lead. Then on Nebraska's first play from scrimmage, Wildcat defensive back Chris McAllister intercepted an Eric Crouch pass. Shocker! But then fumbled it back to the Cornhuskers at the 12-yard line. Given a second chance, Nebraska drove 88 yards in 8 plays, including 4 fair time, 5 Crouch pass completions to retake the lead 20-16. Wildcats were up to the challenge, driving 68 yards on their next possession. Smith scrambled for 2 key first downs, and Kelvin Ethan capped the drive with a 1-yard plunge. Arizona 23-20 with 6 minutes left, and McAllister picked off a pass in the final minute to secure the win. That's your 98 recap. I know Eric Crouch comes around these parts every once in a while, and I expect someday he will come in and beat me to a pulp, but, you know, whatever. I'm sure it's not today. It's a little bad conditions out there.
You know, I just wish everybody would be accepting and treat people the way they would want to be treated. That's what, you know. So that's what I
remember
try.
That around remember
Christmas,
that
around Christmas time, and I don't know why the anger still goes on every day with you and Eric Crouch, one of the truest, greatest Huskers and Americans of all time. Couldn't be more happy than when Eric Crouch is in our wonderful town or in central Nebraska.
Guys, just a note on Sean Watson. Name one highly touted quarterback that Sean Watson has developed since he came to the Huskers. Well, he's only been here like 4 years.
I would have to think that developed Joe Gans awfully well.
And develop him.
Well, Joe Gans.
Let's get out of here. Let's get out of here.
I want to remind you again, Todd Dodge from North Texas, Steve Craig Thorpe from Louisville, Rick Neuheisel from UCLA, Dwayne Walker, New Mexico State, are the 4 coaches that had Nebraska nowhere to be found in their top 25.
Loper wrestling coach Mark Bauer will join us on the show tomorrow, as will Bob Jensen. I want to thank Monty Kratzenstein for joining us today, Husker Insider, and Dugan Arnett of the Lawrence Journal World.
Hey, look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Later in the week, Mike Perennio, Mandalay Bay, race and sportsbook owner, operator, head lifeguard, does it all at Mandalay Bay. Set to join us, talk about the point spreads coming out for the bowl game. And on Thursday, Noah Keller, Mac co-MVP, Dan LaFever from Central Michigan, the offense. Noah Keller was the defense. He's going to be in studio with us, Derek, so we're looking forward to that as well. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll see you tomorrow, 23 hours from now. 1460 in Kearney, 1550 on your AM dollar, friends in Hastings. Bye-bye now.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!